Smith and Bacardi Limon, Don and Mike.
On our line is Rick Stanley. Remember, he's a minister, not a preacher.
Right.
This is the guy stumbled upon a story about him in the tabloids last week and realized, as I was reading the story, this is the guy that wrote the Hamburger James story.
An intimate look behind the scenes at the Memphis Mafia and the world of Elvis Presley.
So now let's welcome to the big show, Rick Stanley.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Rick. Well, welcome. Remember now, he's a minister.
Not a preacher, right, Rick?
Well, the reason I said that, guys, is because, unfortunately, when you say preachers, there's the preconceived ideas. Yeah, I am. I do speak to a lot of students and a lot of churches and stuff like that. But most of what I do is sitting and talking, counseling, talking to parents and stuff like that. So, yeah, I actually do both, but I prefer minister.
All right. Minister Stanley, I want to...
Rick's fine, you
okay.
know.
All right, Rick.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to applaud you for...
May I call you Minister Rick?
You'd like to.
I just want to applaud you for writing the story about Hamburger James, because we have gotten more material out of that article that you wrote for People Magazine than anything else that we've done in the last 10 years.
Well, I don't tell you what's incredible, guys. I've been up there. As a matter of fact, the first trip I made to on the road with Elvis was to D.C., but I've been up there to speak at a number of different churches and schools and stuff, and I have people walk up to me and say, "Can you tell me about Hamburger James?" And I kept wondering, what is the deal? And finally, this guy, his name's Alan Wilson from Columbiana Baptist Church, says, "Rick, you got the Hamburger James thing's a big deal up here." So, yeah, hey, I'm glad you guys do it and have a good time with it. He was an incredible guy.
Twice a year, we started out reading it just on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And now we've expanded it also to Elvis' death day. When did you when was the year that you wrote your story about Elvis for People Magazine with Hamburger James?
1989. See, Hamburger, you know, you got to understand the meaning of Hamburger James, how he was. If you really want to have a good time, this guy, keep in mind, this guy, his dad was a cop.
Hamburger James's father was a cop?
Yeah, was a cop.
Uh-huh.
So Hamburger James kind of looked at life with a Joe Friday outlook, you know, just the facts.
Mm-hmm. Let me just bring everybody up to speed very quickly. Hamburger James is a guy who used to run out and get Elvis hamburgers. That's why they called him Hamburger James.
Yep.
Elvis one time was recreating with the boys, and somebody took off with some of his stuff. They found out it was Hamburger James. They went to the airport. They stopped the airplane. They pulled him off the airplane. Hamburger James, I guess, thought that they were going to take him into the desert and kill him.
He was going back to Memphis, right? He had some money with him, and he had taken out of the kit, and he was going back to Memphis.
Yep. Had some personal items.
I love the kit.
Yeah.
When Elvis... When Elvis got Hamburger James then, when they finally got him in the hotel room and they were going to have the showdown, Elvis at one point picked up an end table, a coffee table, looked like he was going to slam it over this guy's head.
Yeah.
And Rick writes in the story, they thought, you know, now Elvis is going to kill this guy. What are we going to do? How are we going to cover this up? But then at the last second, that's why we read it on Christmas Eve, because it has a happy ending.
Yeah. Touching ending. The touching side of Elvis.
Elvis
reeks with redemption, yes.
Elvis put down the end table and reached over and started to cry. And as I recall, just slapped him.
Slapped him. Open hand.
Open-handed slap. And then said that if you needed anything, you should have asked me.
Yep.
Now, when you were in that room when that happened, was that a complete... Were you guys just totally freaked out and you had no idea what Elvis was going to do?
I had absolutely no idea. Well, when we took off to the airport to get him, that's when I thought, you know, this isn't going to really look too good because he wants to go out in public now. So, guys, we pull up. Elvis looks at me before I get out of the car. And he says, "Now, Rick, you're the youngest, you're the fastest. When you take off and you get James. Now, if you hear a gunshot, duck."
Oh.
He was as serious as he could be.
Wow. You know, this another great part of the story is when Elvis goes running through the airport and he says, "Stop that plane, I'm a federal officer." Now, keep in mind that Elvis...
And he's going to stop the... And see, we're all thinking, you know, this is really bad now because, you know, the media is going to find out all about... And here's what's strange, guys. He goes up to the counter with his federal narcotics badge that Nixon gave him. And he says, you know, the irony is incredible. He says, "Stop the plane." And they look at him, you know, the people at the counter just kind of look at each other, and they look at Elvis.
I think you wrote that. Again,
and Elvis says, stop the play. And they did.
Didn't you write that one of the girls behind the counter gets all buttery?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that was fairly common.
Well, listen, Rick, I guess that you were part of Elvis's partying entourage. How did you pull yourself out of that?
Well, what happened, guys, for me is, I was into it and heavily into it, and I'd met a friend in school who kept just saying, hey, Rick, you can enjoy your life. You just don't have to do the drugs and party. Long story short, this goes on about 7 years, this friendship, and then she calls me and says, hey, what's it going to take for you to turn your life around? I said, really, I don't know. Had a long talk with Elvis. 8 hours later, my brother died.
Wow.
And because of this young lady, she finally talked me into going to church. I got my life straightened out, and that young lady's my wife. So,
there's a happy ending.
She's the hero to the story.
Well, Rick, we just wanted to say hi, and if possible, I think is it August 16th that's Elvis' death day?
The big 20, yeah.
Yeah. We'd like to see if we could get you on the show again when we have the story in front of us to ask you about it line by line.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I'd be glad to, guys. James was, you know, he was also nicknamed the Brow.
The Brow. The Brow. Why did you call him
that? Because he had these eyebrows that touched all the way across.
Hey, man, where's the Brow?
Because when you'd ask him a question like, hey, James, have you got the trunks unloaded? He would furrow that brow at you.
The
get
brow.
Real serious and say, it's taken care of, you know. And we were like, well, we just asked you a question, you know. We're not asking for blood here. We kept it light. He wanted to stay serious.
Okay, one last question for you. When Elvis had had all of his stuff at Graceland, we have a list of 31 items that Elvis demanded be in stock at Graceland at all times. Is that an accurate list? Do you know the list I'm talking about where it says like Brown and Serve rolls and Thinamint gum and El Producto diamond tip cigars?
Freshly made nana pudding.
Oh, yeah, well, see, the nanner pudding thing.
Right.
It was depending. Oh, the cigars, the gum, certain Mountain Valley water, all this stuff. Yeah, that there, the banana pudding thing, you never really knew, you know, what it was going to do there. But, yeah, he was he was an incredible guy. He was the stuff. I look back now. I'm 43. I outlived him. So I'm pretty happy. I look back on some of the stuff we did. It was insane. And I'm just glad people have a good time with it and lighten up instead of getting so heavy on it.
Well, you'd love this show. And Hamburger James, do you know where he is now? Is he still with us?
Yeah,
still
man.
Still alive?
James, Hamburger James is in Memphis, man. Where else?
He is.
And I saw him a few years ago. I was over there speaking to some students or something, and he came up to me and... you know, everybody that knew me back in my teens and early 20s, yeah, if you'd have seen me in my teens, you'd know why some animals eat their young. I mean, I was just a pretty wild guy and all this stuff. And they've seen me straighten up, so they're kind of amazed.
Yeah.
They all kind of come out of the woodwork and go, well, we're proud of you, you know. And I think, well, thanks, guys. Behind every successful man's a surprised woman. So.
And you saw the brow.
Yeah, well, the brow was there.
Rick, thank you for your time. This is Rick Stanley. He is a minister in the great state of Georgia. If you hold on a second, our producer Rob wants to speak to you.
Sure.
Maybe we can get you here for the big 20th.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Great talking to you, Rick.
Rob, my pleasure, guys. Thank
Rob,
you.
Hey, pick up, please.
Hello, beautiful.
There he is. All right, well, there's some confirmation about the Hamburger James story.
You know, when we do one of those Elvis shows, I am guessing we could talk to him for a good long time because I think he loves to talk about it. And that's the difference between any of these other Elvis guys we've talked to. They always get so heavy duty, and this guy's just looking at it as a wild time in his life.
Yeah, I'd like to go through that article item by item. There's so many things.
Sure.
I'd like to ask him about the kid. I'd like to ask him about Elvis's, don't forget Elvis's cigar box that he had to carry. Remember when he went to L.A. when he had to have the special iPads?
And remember the women that Elvis would have brought up to the room and they had to wear the special outfits?
What about Scatter the Monkey?
Yeah, when they go out there.
And I don't mean that's not the name of some weird, perverse game that Elvis used to play. That was Elvis's pet monkey was named Scatter.
I'm shooting the TVs out and all that other good stuff that Rick probably knows about.
Sure. All right, well, we'll book him for Elvis' death day. There he is.